Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in.
And welcome back to another edition of Bleed in the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. We had an interesting weekend this past weekend on HBO Showtime and on Friday night fights on ESPN, Fox Sports 1. I got to tell you this. I really honestly was more entertained from the Madison Square Garden to the Washington, D.C. fights with Antonio Orozco's fight. That KO that he landed on Herrera was one to remember for the week. Definitely something to really talk about. It was short-lived, two rounds, but two rounds of these guys really trying to take each other out, leaving a statement in that ring. Now, is it one of those career-moving type of fights? Absolutely not. It's one of the fights that you stay active and you test yourself, and you find yourself exactly where you're at so you can go back to that drawing board and look a little further into what you're doing in your career, right? But that said, the Antonio Orozco fight from Fox Sports 1. That's the one fight I'm talking about, just in case you guys missed that there. Dominic Brazil, I didn't get that. I didn't get the matchup. I don't understand why you would match him up in such a fight with a heavyweight that looked the way he did coming in the ring. You're trying to develop him. It's maybe because of the shortage that we have here in the U.S. Maybe that might be the reason. I'm not really sure why he was matched up the way he was. I mean, if you're trying to make him an attractive heavyweight, you're trying to make him with an attractive heavyweight that looks like a heavyweight, that looks like he's in shape, looks like he's ready to take it on. Not something like that on national television where everybody's going to sit down and watch and then kind of scratch their heads and said, what am I watching here? Is this a tough man competition or is this a professional fight for a heavyweight? So it didn't tell us anything. Progression-wise, it just kind of keeps him exactly where we thought he was at, which is not knowing a whole lot, Gabriel. I don't know what your thoughts were about that, but I just kind of cringed at it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I completely cringed at it. And I think what it showed us is that in California, the standards have still not risen. The only thing that had risen in that fight was his opponent's, Fonseca's weight. He'd been like 252, then I think 264 in his next fight, and then this was a career high 298. And I mean, the guy looked like he had a beer belly. It looked dangerous. I mean, his belly was so big. I mean, you can cause all sorts of damage. I mean, sport's already dangerous. But you got a guy that's horribly out of shape, and even in his corner, it was Clemente Medina, the trainer, going, you're just not in shape. You're just not in shape. What the hell is he doing on TV? What are they feeding us? And who is licensing these fights and approving them? I mean, he was grossly overweight. He was morbidly obese, some might say. And yet he's in there with a guy of Brazil's supposed caliber. I thought it also showed that the Brazil, granted, he's a big guy, and it's hard on a shorter guy to get to that body. But I'm sorry, when you see a body that big, I mean, the guy looks like Bluto from Popeye. You
right.
go up, but you start digging to it, and you just, go for it until you get the guy out of there. What did it say about Brazil that he was in the corner kind of getting backed up and hit by this guy? What would have been like if he had been in shape? I thought it was not a very impressive performance, and
not
it was really pathetic for the California Commission.
Well, just in all fairness for Pluto from Popeye, Pluto is a little bit more solid.
It is
in my
true.
Opinion.
It is true.
My fans, remember, you can call in at any time, 347-215-7598. We've got two special guests that are going to be coming through. At about 11:15, we're going to have Brandon Bam Bam Rios, who's coming off of his loss with Manny Pacquiao, and also has been having a back-and-forth feud with Yoricus Gamboa. Then a little later, about noon, we're going to have Paulie Malignaggi on the show with us, who's a fighter and also a commentator for Showtime. So we've got a very interesting show here for everybody to tune in and listen. Don't forget to download the app to your Android and iPhone. The new series for the Boxing Blitz, it will be up, I believe, on Sunday or Monday. One of those days, it should be up. And hopefully you guys enjoy the coverage that we did on that and the kind of different direction that we're taking in terms of with that show. It's nothing similar to what we're doing on Leaving the Ring or on the next round or Boxeo de Tijuana Radio. Okay, let's go into Gabriel Rosado versus Charlo. You know the thing about, I'm sorry, man, I'm getting so many texts. So it's kind of throwing me off. I hate when that happens to me here on Leaving the Ring. But going off with Gabriel here is, here's a guy that he's been not a winning streak, but really is a journeyman that can really expose any type of flaws, can expose and make anything a really good fight. Okay. What we saw on Saturday night, we saw a guy that maybe his body's finally catching up. Okay. He had no jab, which I don't know how you fight without a jab. I don't know. Was Charlo that good, or was Gabriel just that bad that night? I tend to kind of lean towards Gabriel was just that bad that night. I don't know. I'm not defending my pick. I did pick Gabriel Rosado to win this fight. I thought this was a major test for Charlo. So this was a great victory and a great movement for Charlo. But I sit back and I wonder, after all the battles and tally toes of what Gabriel's been putting himself through after match, and this guy hasn't had an easy road to be on the networks here. This guy's fought whoever's been offered up to him. He's had to basically take, you know, and that's what fighters do. They take what is offered to them, especially if they're not a household name and they're not the major draw. So he's done that. I'm wondering how much of this, though, has finally just caught up to him where he did not look like the same fighter, or was he the same fighter and Charlo was just that good? Gabriel?
Yeah, I thought Charlo was just that good. I mean, Gabe Rosado, no disrespect to the guy, but he's not a world beater. He's, you know, he's a guy that looks stingy a bit. I thought he, if you're not ready, you're not next level, he's going to expose you a bit. But at the same time, I mean, he's not that guy that, boy, if you're not on your game, he's going to beat you that night. I mean, he'll expose certain things. I mean, I think he got Shakur Powell over there, although, you know, Powell's kind of towards the end of it. And he's been a bit of a chinny guy in the past. He took care of Jesus Soto Carras, but he was also kind of
a smaller
bigger.
Guy.
Yeah, he's a smaller guy. So he's matched well. He'll get Golovkin. He tried to use his movement, and he kind of, in my opinion, fought a little bit scared. And then Jaylion Love, who looks like the package, but at the same time, you know, he's still kind of being seasoned. He's still kind of coming together. And I thought, you know, Rosado was winning that fight when it got stopped. You know, now it's a new contest because of Love testing positive for a banned diuretic.
Right.
Quillen, I thought, was a very good fight. But, you know, you could kind of see that Rosado's body starting, even at age 28, it's starting to betray him a little bit. Like Steve pointed this out, he's like, you know, he just starts to cut easy now, you know. But I think with Charlo, he did what he had to do. It's, you know, I'm gonna control you with the jab. I'm going to move. I thought he had to fight in spots. You know, when they did exchange, he was ready for it. I liked his defense. You know, he would get a couple shots off and then slip underneath and then back out and then just stay on the game plan. I thought it was very disciplined. He did exactly what you need to do with Rosado. He's not a power puncher, Charlo. Not this Charlo. The other brother is a power puncher. But this one's more of a pure boxer. And so I think, you know, he did what he had to do, and I was very impressed, actually. Of the weekend, he was a guy that I wasn't sure of him going in. I've never really been that big on the Charlos. I like their trainer, Ronnie Shields. I think he teaches fundamentals just as good, if not better than most, or most of the top trainers, that is. And the brothers are starting to really show that. And in this fight, it was like, you know, when you step up to that next level, if you can't beat Gabe Rosado, who's got eight losses, then you don't belong to the next level. You don't get to progress. And I thought he dominated him, and there was just no question of it. Do I think Rosado's shot or not that great? I mean, he's no better or no greater than I thought he was coming out of the, you know, going into the fight, you know, coming out of it. I think there was a solid guy that's going to give you rounds. If you're extra special, like I think Gennady Golovkin is, and more of a natural middleweight, he's going to stop you. He's going to get stopped. But if you're like Charlo and you're more of a pure boxer and you don't have a lot of power, well, then you should do something else to dominate. If you can't stop him, then you should shut him out. And essentially that's kind of what happened here. It took him a little while to get going, but once he did, it was all Jermell Charlo. So I was very impressed. I really liked it. It wasn't the most exciting fight in the world, but it was a very complete performance, I thought.
It was a complete performance, and I agree that it was a lot of Charlo, but I think it really had to do a lot with Gabriel Rosado's body betraying him. I think the only way we can describe Gabriel Rosado in his division, even at 154 to 160, is he's the overcard. He's that good enough. If you come in not correct, he's going to expose you and he's going to take advantage of it. But if you're that good and you stick to your game plan, you can definitely beat a Gabriel Rosado.
Yeah, but Oba had power, and I think that's the difference.
Very true.
If you were really not on your game, Oba would really, he could knock you down. He knocked Trinidad down. He could really take you to the limit. With Rosado, he's a boxer. There's not a lot else going on. He wants to mix it up.
Well, he's
really
more of a pressure
boxer,
though. He's not really a boxer.
He is a pressure boxer,
but
I'm not that worried about his power if I'm any of these guys. I mean, he's not... He can overwhelm you and take control because he's a bigger guy, but there's one dimension in a sense to me with him. I don't know about. I think Obakar is a better guy, but I'm kind of partial to Obakar. But at the same time, yeah, he is that guy that, to me, the difference with Obakar is like say there wasn't a De La Hoya or a Trinidad in that division, Oba would have won a world title. With Gabe Rosado, I'm not sure. I necessarily think that because I don't think much of Peter Quillen, Obakar would have beaten him, I mean, granted they're different weight classes, but his skill set, his level of ability would have beaten him. With Gabe, I think he is what he is. He's a guy that's going to give you rounds, good TV fighter, his action. I think he's a quality guy, in terms of he doesn't cheat the fans, he goes out and gives you everything that he has. He tries his best to win.
Exactly. He's one of the guys.
Feeling.
Right. He's one of those guys that he's gonna dish it out as best as he could, and there's no argument that there's a warrior in there, but just to overcome the obstacles that are put in front of him, it's always gonna be very difficult for him. Let's move on to the main event. We had Lamont Peterson with Sean. What is his name? Sean Deary, and they called him Doogie or something.
Deary John.
Dirijan, there you go. And
Dougie style.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I'm just getting blown up. I'm getting from a lot of people right now. Lamont Peterson, listen. I hate when this happens, especially when we have a big show like this. Everybody's blowing up. They don't think that I'm on the radio or something, and asking a million questions. Okay, so Lamont Peterson, listen. I like the way Lamont's coming back out. I think that, happening with Luke and Matisse, now, first off, Luke is a different beast in terms of punching power, but coming out and laying the ground that, I got knocked out, but I'm going to move forward, and I'm just going to continue what has got me to the point where people want to come and see me in D.C. He did exactly what I said he needed to do, which was not allow Dirijan to have those lacking moments where he can capitalize and get comfortable with the shoulder roll and starting to lead with a right cross. Lamont kind of stopped him there, kept him at bay, and rushed him and closed the spots when needed to be closed. Now, Lamont was getting caught and at some moments because he was making Sean fight. He was making him put more of an output that I had kind of witnessed watching previous tapes of him. That was a great performance by Lamont. I don't know whether or not it puts him up there where we all want to see him now move up to the next step. This was a tough test for him to see where his jaw stood at and his mental frame. Where do we go from here with him now? I'm not really sure. I think it's something they need to draw back for. I think they're kind of waiting to find out if what happens with Herrera and Garcia taking place in Puerto Rico or what's going to go on with Amir Khan. What are your thoughts, Gabriel?
Yeah, I think that last one is an interesting mention because I'm tending to think the longer this drags out, the less chance Amir Khan has of getting the Mayweather fight. I think they've tested it out with the crowd. People don't seem to like it. Now, granted, people weren't that crazy about the Guerrero fight with Mayweather. So,
hey, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I believe we got our first guest with us here on Leaving the Ring. Brandon Bam Bam Rios, you there with us, brother?
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
Going good, man. Morning. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Hey, Brandon, my first question is going to be after the Pacquiao fight, what surprised you the most about him? Because everybody was anticipating that he was going to go in there and brawl with you. What surprised you that he didn't do that?
That surprised me because, you know, we was going off all his fights that he's an aggressive fighter and that we thought he was going to be the same way, but he didn't come out that way. He came out with a different game plan. I was ready to go to war, but, hey, it's what it is. I can say I got beat by one of the legends, so it happened,
right,
man. I guess I wasn't ready for that type of competition yet.
Well, let me ask you this. Go ahead.
Speed or the skill? Because, I mean, he kind of kept kind of basic to what he was doing, but it seemed like he was just really disciplined. Like, he was not going to engage in a firefight.
Honestly, it was the speed, man. The speed really got to me. It was really a factor in it. I had some guys inspiring with speed, but this guy had tremendous speed. And I think also, too, it had to go with the southpaw because I haven't fought a southpaw in a long time, and I was never used to a southpaw until Pacquiao, you know. And then in the gym, we spar southpaws. They wasn't as great at southpaw as this guy. This guy was a unique southpaw. Not only that, but the awkward southpaw out there. And I think that's what it had a lot to do with it. Because, honestly, after the second round, I got frustrated. I just, like, I don't know what happened, man. I lost. Once you fucking get my fuck, you lose the fight. You lose everything you got to do. You forget about the game plan. You forget about everything because you're mind fucked. And I was just, like, stuck. So that's what happened.
When you say that, you mean, like, you get kind of like a tunnel vision. People are saying, hey, do this, do that. And you're just kind of, like,
yeah,
zoning,
like,
out?
Everything, exactly. It's like, we had a great game plan going into it. I was executing in the gym and sparring and everything. I was doing a great job. Then all of a sudden, I get to the fight, and then I was still executing too because we was out there for 2 weeks and I was still sparring and everything. I was doing a great job still. And then when fight night, man, I fought him, and it was just after the first round, you know, I got a little bit confused. In the second round, I was just totally mind-fucked, and I just – it seemed like everything I throw, I was going to get countered. Everything I did something, I was going to get caught. So,
right.
I really got mind fucked. So, it's one of those things that, you know, not only that, but I fought one of the best southpaws in the world. Not just the southpaw guy. It was one of the best in the world. So,
right.
Fuck it.
No. Let me ask you this, because when you had Memo Heredia and you got in with Michael Alvarado, to me, it looked, Jack, you were still very explosive. With getting with Alex Ariza, did the regimen kind of mess you up too, though? Because it didn't seem you were that explosive. Or was just all just because Manny was that much faster in your thoughts?
Yeah, honestly, trust me, dude, in the gym, I compare the differences between Heredia and Ariza. And, you know, they both got they're both as great at what they do. You know, they both do a great job at what they do. Alvarado is because Alvarado was right there with me and we was exchanging everything, and, you know, it showed that I didn't have as much physical and everything about it. With the Pacquiao, it was because Pacquiao was in and out. Like I said, he's one of the unique southpaw out there. He was in and out. He was a fucking, like I said, just the quickness, man. It got to me. And that was, like I said, that really mind-fucked me. Once you get mind-fucked, you defeat yourself. So, honestly, that fight, I defeated me.
What was the difference, in your opinion, between Memo and Ariza in their training regimens?
Oh, you know, the way I say it, because Ariza was with me 24/7. Ariza was with me in the gym. But they're both is hard workers, man. They're both, I cannot say nothing bad about them. You know, I'm not going to say nothing bad about them. They both did a
right.
great job, and I wouldn't mind working with either one again, whatever.
So let's go into something right now that's been happening, you know, which is really have kind of caught the fans' eyes, is Yorkies Gamboa. You guys have been going back and forth over Twitter, right? And,
but no, man, that guy's retarded, man. He sounds like a little female, man. He sounds like a, like if I broke up with him, like a girl in a relationship, man. He just
right.
He mentioned my name out of his mouth.
So let me ask you this, because Yorkies Gamboa just a while back was mentioned in the Miami Heredia newspapers about being part of being on the list of the biogenists, and it was rumored that he was on the note for a regimen for taking certain type of substance leading into getting in the ring with you. How do you feel about knowing something like that was going on?
I guess person scared of me too. Fuck, this motherfucker was scared of me, and I guess it is what it is, man. He do what he did, and I'm not going to take anything away from him. If he was on the juice, fuck it, let him be on the juice. I was still able to fight him like that on the juice. I would not question it. I would not say no, yes, or no to nothing like that. But you know what? Like I said, this guy is just a coward, man. He's just trying to get attention again because he's been off the boxing scene for a while, and he just wants to get back on the scene. He wants everybody to know that he's still in the sport. That's why, because last time we know that he was locked up before beating on women. But he's in the wrong. If he wants to beat on women, he's in the wrong sport, because this is nothing but men. Then they're not women in this sport, and even the women are men. So fuck.
Right. But you said it wouldn't bother. You're saying it wouldn't bother you. Like, you don't care if he's juiced up, if he comes in and basically he's trying to cheat to beat you. Why wouldn't that bother you, though, Brian? I mean, why would you want another athlete to come in with an advantage and you know, not be questioned or caught? I mean, why wouldn't you want that to happen?
Hey, dude, honestly, man, if I can get... Like I said, my job is to go in the ring, prepare myself, and get ready to fight and put on a great show. That's my job. If they do the steroids, you know, they always have consequences. Everybody's got to take the consequence later on in the day. So, fuck it. If he was on the juice, dude, there's nothing I can say. That was his mistake, not mine. That whatever he did, that was their problem, not my problem. But I was ready to fight him, even though I never knew nothing about this until I read something about it, that he was... On the day of fucking day he's supposed to fight me, that he was juicing up or some shit, that he was supposed to fight me. But maybe
it was an alleged thing. I mean, just to make that clear, it was alleged.
Yeah, it was in the Miami Herald. It was last July it came out, and like when that story broke. And what it was, he didn't test positive, but there was a bunch of people on the list. Like, this whistleblower came out and said, like, there's all these people, there's boxers, we still don't know who the other ones are. And his name came up, and then there was like a notebook with his name. And then kind of like a regiment, you know, like take this at this time, this at that time.
Yeah.
And
right.
It did time out, I think, around to your fight. So kind of interesting.
Oh,
how rippy.
Fuck. Hey, fucking, maybe that's why he's a little yoke, little fucking midget. You know what I mean?
okay, so
we didn't...
yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you've been in the news where you tested for a banned substance in China. So,
but the bad something wasn't even like the bad something that we tested. It was fucking, it was an energy drink. That's what we were tested for, and it was
so what,
nothing like all people say. Oh, Brandon's on the juice. Brandon's on this. Brandon's having trouble make weight. No, I was making it perfectly. It was an energy drink that we got tested for. We didn't know it was fucking banned. I didn't know anything like that, and it was just an energy drink. I bought an energy drink at the vitamin D store, and that's what it was.
Do you remember the name of that energy drink? Yeah.
It was Jack 3D, I think.
Jack 3D. Which is, yeah, okay. I mean, but I'm curious when you bought it, because it's been off the shelves since, like, last spring.
It's been off the shelf. Well, I'm fucking, you can go to the vitamin D store and you can pick it up.
But you bought it in China.
It's up in Oxnard?
The States. Yeah.
What's up?
I said, did you buy it in
what I'm
China?
About.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just asking, did you buy it in China or in Oxnard? Where did you buy that in?
We had it here in Oxnard already. We had it in Oxnard. We took it to China, but we didn't really use it that much in China. We used it here in Oxnard. You know, there's days when you train your ass off, and there's days that, even with Memo, when I was with Memo, I was training my ass off, and there's days like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm tired. Memo would give me something to wake me up, and this guy did the same thing. He woke me up. That was it. It was not like I was training because I had problems or anything. It was just because I was exhausted from all the weight, from all the training, in the morning training to afternoon training to the middle training to fucking running in the morning, hard running, shit like that. So it was just, you know, just to wake me up, wake my body up. That was it. I wasn't taking it because I had problems or anything, or I thought it was going to be, it was going to help me out or nothing. No, fuck that. It's an energy drink. How can an energy drink help you out in a fight?
Well, that's the thing, is that the sample that you tested positive on, it was the night of the fight sample. That when people do drug testing, like this is for all of them, not just the one you were doing, BADA, but USADA, the Olympics, all of it, they don't test out of what they call out of competition, which is when you're training or when you're like between events, like, you know, in the off season. They don't test for stimulants. They only test for stimulants on the night of the fight, the day of the event. And that's the one that came up positive. So that's, I mean, because the stimulant will actually help you during a fight, you know, keep you going. It's like almost like taking a Red Bull or something. They consider it, illegal is the wrong word, but I mean, I guess it's against the rules.
But you know what they do, but when they said I was like, when I got caught, whatever, they said they found traces of it. They didn't find the whole thing. They said traces of it. So that's like me saying I sniff a line of cocaine on the table, and then I finish it off, and they still have traces of cocaine on the table. They didn't find the whole evidence of it. They didn't find the whole thing. They said they found traces of this supplement in this urine test or whatever. And when I did took my urine test, this is how it is. I got out of the ring to get my check. I pissed for the commission, the Chinese commission, whatever. I pissed for that. I came back, and all of a sudden, I had a fucking, then the Nevada people was right there waiting for me. I'm like, hey, motherfucker. They go, we got to take a piss again. I'm like, well, I can't take a piss again. I just took a piss for the commission. Where the fuck were you? If your piss was first, you should have been in line first. You're supposed to be following me around. It's not my fucking fault. So you guys got to follow me to my room. You got to stay with me until I piss again. And so the guy came into my room. But when he came to my room, I said 30 minutes later, I was in my room waiting, you know, drink water, whatever I had to do just to make myself pissed. So at 30 minutes in my room, then I go, hey, dude, I got to take a piss now. I got to take a piss now. I'm ready. He goes, oh, hold on. I don't have none of this stuff with me. I'm like, what the fuck? You don't have none of this stuff? What the fuck are you representing? And do you posted fuck you following me to take a piss, but you don't have none of the fucking, all the stuff, the urine sample, the thing like that, nothing like that so I could piss in? That's fucking kind of bullshit. And so he goes, well, I can go downstairs and get it. I'm like, well, dude, somebody I will get it because I had to take a piss. So he came by himself, so he had nobody with him. So he goes, he sent my assistant, Pita, the one that helped me out, my personal assistant, Pita, Robertson, and Arturo, my assistant trainer, Arturo Torres. He sent him downstairs to go get the team. So, you know, that's kind of fishy right there, too. It's like, and then Nevada gave it to him. It's like, how you know these fucker works for me? You don't even know if they work for me or not, and you give them the fucking, the thing like that to bring it to my room. So it's kind of stupid. So they came to my room. Before they took forever to get in my fucking room. I mean, like, literally a long time, and my piss was coming out. I told the guy when I was in my room still, and they was downstairs doing whatever they got to do. And I was upstairs, and I told this fool, hey, I take a piss bad. He goes, you know what? Let's piss in this cup. And then when you piss in this cup, the regular drinking glass cup, you piss in the cup. After you're done with the cup, then we can transfer into this and that. So, you know what?
Hold on.
So, you know, anyway, so when they tell you piss in the cup, so I piss in the cup, and then when I piss in the cup, he goes, we'll transfer that cup, the piss into the cup, into the container where it's contaminated, wherever they have that plastic container, whatever. We'll transfer the pee from the cup to that cup, and then we'll put it in the A and B sample, whatever they had to do. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. So I pissed in the cup. I didn't think about it, but I pissed in the cup. And that cup was a fucking dirty cup, too, you know. So I pissed in the cup, and then they came in, they did the thing, and then I come back to USA, I'm fucking tested positive. So that's kind of bullshit.
What I'm curious about is that, you know, in the letter from China to you, the China Commission, they gave it to you on the 2nd, and they said you have until the 10th to protest. And when you first did, you did like an interview with the World Boxing Dudes, and you didn't mention this story, but you guys also let the deadline go. And if this, you know, I'm not calling you a liar, I'm just saying this is, you know, all of your team has said this about the extra cup and everything. And how come you guys didn't protest? I mean, this is your good name, you know what I mean?
Like, we didn't protest because we didn't even know about it until we got to USA. They said that they're saying whatever. We didn't fucking, Martha Guzman, whatever the fucking name is, they did not tell me. All they said was, I tested positive. Cameron called me, told me you tested positive. That was it. They didn't say you can protest. You got a chance to protest. You got a chance for this and that. Because if they did, I would have fucking done that right. I would have cleared my name up. Because you know what? I'm not a fucking drug user. I don't fucking need that steroid. I don't need that advantage to win the fight. And it's just a lot of shit, you know? And plus, it wasn't even fucking steroids, nothing. It was just an energy drink. That was it. And so, like, if they would have gave me a fucking 10, if they would have told me, you got the second whatever to protest, I would have fucking protested the thing, and I would have fucking, like, cleared my name out, because this is kind of bullshit, because we're not no fucking steroid user or any type of user, nothing like that. Fuck no. And it's funny,
the letter
too,
from
because
the commission that, like, laid it all out, they gave that to Cameron, and Cameron just said, he didn't tell you, because the commission told me they gave you the letter on the 2nd. Like, they said they gave it to you, but so they probably, what, they sent it to Top Rank or Cameron, and then Cameron just held on to it till after the
I don't know. I did not get no letter on the 2nd. That's all I know. I did not get no letter. The only thing letter I got was the test positive results. That was it. Nothing to say that to protest or nothing like that. I just sent me a letter to say you test positive, this and that, and they show me the paper, the copy of the paper that what I tested positive for, that I tested positive, I signed off on and all that. That was all they sent me.
That's a trip. So, okay, that's good to know.
So let me ask you this, Brandon. So when you got this and you realized this is what happened, even without even knowing about the protest, like, it never crossed your mind to ask your manager or your team or your promoter, like, hey man, what's up with this? Why am I being tested for this? And can I protest against this? Can I fight these results?
Honestly, because then it crossed my mind. It's like, dude, I'm tested. First thing when it came positive, I went straight to Ariza, to Robert, and we had a big argument about the fucking, you know, it was crazy. We had a big argument, me and Ariza and Robert, all of us had an argument, like, what the fuck, you know, it was just crazy. I never questioned, like, we never fucking did anything. I never fucking, like, thought about that, because my mind was just so heated up right now. I was thinking about everything else. I was just pissed, because the fact that I lost the fight,
right,
I turned my ass off. Then all of a sudden,
yeah,
I come back and I get a double whammy and I come back and I fucking test positive. That never happened to me. So, you know, it's fucking crazy. And and to me, it was just a lot of shit. You know, it was just, my mind was just distracted to all the fucking thing that was going on. It was just like one big cloud hit me at once. And it was just like, it fucked me up.
So when you come,
well, just one last thing, Dave.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For you, ultimately, after the cloud has kind of passed a bit, do you think it was an energy drink or a contaminated glass?
It could be both. If it was the, I think it was the glass too, because they said they found traces. They didn't find every different thing. They found the whole thing. They said traces. So, well, it could be both. No, it's not my fault that I didn't come with the right tools when they had to fucking follow me. That's their fucking job. It's not my job. My job was to buy in and that was their fucking job to follow me. My job was to fight. Their job is to fucking make sure they had the right tools and right everything with them the whole time when they fall in an athlete.
Let me just do a point of order here, just so you know. And I think a lot of people are learning about anti-doping and all that. The company that came to you, both in Oxnard and in China, that's not VADA. They're like subcontractors. That what they do is collect samples. The one that came to you in China, it's a company called IDTM, and they handle the Olympics. They handle a lot of the overseas major sports.
They didn't handle all that shit. They should have done a better job. They should know what the fuck they do if they handle all this fucking major sport. It's not my fault that made me piss in a regular drinking glass.
I'm just saying the company that handles the administrators, VADA, but that company is IDTM. And I'd seen you guys kind of say, oh, it's VADA, and it isn't. Like, even the one in Oxnard, where the one dude
but
was like,
know,
well, I don't know
the
what
way,
that was being tested. That dude
yeah,
did not
the
know.
Way, and you know what? The way I see it, too, was kind of fishy. Is like, the whole fucking time here in the fucking States, I tested clean. And I was doing the same shit I was doing in China. I did the same shit here in California in Oxnard. And I tested fucking, I came out negative on every single fucking test. Until the last fucking test, the incident that happened with Roach and Ariza, I came on the last fucking test, I came out positive. And it wasn't really like a full-blown positive. It was a fucking trace of positive. It wasn't a full-blown evidence at all. He's on this shit. It was just a trace of it. That's like me taking the shit and then wiping my ass right and I have trace on my fucking underwears.
But that still means you took a shit, though.
Is that, for one thing, is that, well, that's true. But here's the other thing is that, again, like all the ones that you did in the U.S., they're not doing the stimulant tests. You can do Red Bull or whatever the hell you want in terms of stimulant drinks.
They were doing a whole fucking thing.
But the night of the
fight, they were doing a whole fucking thing because they were taking blood out of me. And in China, they only took a piss test. Here, they were taking blood out of me and taking piss and fucking, I forgot, that was it. I think blood, piss. And, yeah, that was it. Every fucking time. So, you know, come on, man. If they found traces
on that's what I'm saying, is that the night of the fight is the only time that they would possibly test for this. They don't care about stimulants during your training. They care about it in the event. And the one that you tested positive for was the event. And to me, the theory why it would be trace amounts was that you just took a big piss right before that for China, and then you took a bunch of water, and then you took another piss for VADA. So the more you take, like, the less trace elements of it would be available. Does that make sense? Like if you drank a bunch of beer, took a big piss, and then had a bunch of water, took another, you know, piss, there would be less beer in the second one than there would be in the first one, if that makes sense. It's a theory, but
I don't need that shit, you know.
I hear where you're coming from, Brandon, you know, like with some of the analogy that you're using, you know, if I took a shit, I didn't wipe my ass, there's traces of it. But the analogy of that is, though, you took a shit. So it is something that you did. That's why there's a trace of it. So my question is that why let it run then? If you feel that this was wrongfully done to you, and obviously it had to cross your mind a short bit, because you mentioned that you got back and you had a big argument with your team. So I'm pretty sure your big question to Ariza was, what was the shit that you were putting in me that they're coming back to me saying that I'm being tested positive for something that I'm not aware of? So that already being said, is do you feel right now, having the conversation with us, that you should follow through with a protest or have a better investigation, not just for the overall, for people that are listening, but for yourself to know what was going on in your body?
You know what? I could go back and, you know, make a big hassle about it and everything, but you know what? It is what it is. And it just proved that it was nothing, man. Because look, Mikey was doing the same shit I've been doing, and I was with Mikey the whole time. We went with this camp and the last camp when he was training for his fight, and he came out positive, negative on everything. Fucking Madonna was doing the same shit I was doing, taking the fucking all the testing with everything. He came out fucking negative. We know that it's nothing. That's what you're trying to say and assume that, well, I think Ariza gained something dirty. No, it's not even like that, you know. Fuck it, you know. It's just, why fucking build on to another hassle, man? It's just... you do it, deal with it, and fucking move on, man. Life's a bitch. Life's a bitch. You died, and you fucking move on, man. I don't have time for this protest no more and everything. Yes, I should do that to clear my name up, but you know what? As long as I know deep down inside that I'm fucking clean and I'm not a dirty fighter, and if it was just a trace of something, it was just for an injury drink, fuck it. It is what it is, then.
Fair enough. I'm just curious. So you're saying, like, all you guys are doing this, the Jack 3D stuff, because the stuff's dangerous.
It wasn't getting Jack 3D. We don't fucking use that shit all the time. Before when it was in the market, we were using it, and then that's when Dr. Anderson told me, hey, don't use this drink. This drink's not good. So we stopped using it. The only time we use it is when, like this time, the only time I use it is because I fucking was tired and everything. So... after training, hard training, everything, I just fucking wake me up. That was it. It wasn't nothing like I was using it all the fucking time.
Gotcha.
But that one, the one time I was using it, it kind of fucked me, so fuck it. It is what it is. What can we do about it? Nothing. Just move on. Fucking, I'm not going to sit here and try to protest with these fucking motherfuckers and just fuck it. It is what it is, man. Just life's a bitch until you die.
That is very true. So let's move to the present. You gonna fight Gamboa? Is that fight gonna happen? Do you think? Are they talking to you about it?
Dude, honestly, nobody ever mentioned shit. It was just this motherfucker just running his fucking mouth, man. He's just trying to, like I said, he's trying to hype up something that's nothing. So I'm tired of fucking, like, he's always tweeting me and shit, like, dude, you sound like a fucking female, man, like, I broke up with you, and you're mad because you found out I cheated on you. So it's just like, God damn it, dude. But, you know, I haven't heard shit about that. Yeah, I heard that Mikey and Gamboa trying to fight, and if that's the case, then I let Mikey handle this for and knock this motherfucker out.
So what does that leave you at then? I mean, you know,
That leaves me in the back burner, fucking saying I'm dirty. That's what leaves me at. Everybody wants to say that, so, you know, I just might as well say it. I'm a dirty motherfucker. Honestly, I don't know.
Do you think that's perception of you? Do you think people actually think that about you?
Fuck yeah, dude. Motherfucker, I read this shit all the fucking time, man. Come on, homie. I'm always on the media social shit. I'm always on that shit. And everybody's always, that's everybody's, oh, he was still on the Jews and he couldn't beat Pacquiao. Motherfucker, I wasn't on the Jews. Yeah, get your story right. It was fucking, it was an energy juice. That's what I was on. That's what they wanted to call it, energy juice.
Energy
juice. That's all it was. It wasn't even nothing. It was the energy drink that I took, and that's what fucking happened. But it is what it is, you know. What can you say? Those are the ones that just stay on the computer and just hate over the computer because their life fucking sucks and they wish they could have our life.
How stressful? Let me ask you this, man, as an athlete, bro, because, you know, from a fighter that's always brought action to us, you know, I mean, that's one thing that all fight fans, no matter if they're Mexican or black or white, they've been attracted to you because of your style. After this performance, it's like they all jumped off of that, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you know, you're not capable. How do you deal with that on a daily basis? Try to stay positive and keep moving forward. Like, what have you done to deal with something like that? Because I can't imagine that kind of stress, Brandon. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, it's easy to shoot the gab out, but to take the stabbing, that's got to be like pretty intense.
Oh man, it doesn't bother me, man. It is what it is, homie. That's the way they are, man. That's the way people are going to be all the time. Once you know they're on the board, next you know they're off board. So. It is what it is. They jump ship quick, you know. Doesn't bother me. I just come back and just keep doing what I got to do and just keep fighting and keep training. And this time, just be ready all the fucking time. And that's all I can do. There's nothing else I can do just to be ready. Fuck it. Fans are always going to hate. People's just going to hate. And the ones that hate, they're the ones that hate their life more than they hate our life. So, you know, I can't. I'm not going to sit here and fucking say, oh, man, I'm going to listen to this motherfucker. Fuck it. I read about it. Oh, cool. That's badass. I like what he said. That's nice what he said. Or sometimes they put, like, a picture of me getting fucked up. Oh, that's a badass picture. I give him credit. Like, dude, that's a nice picture. Fuck, send it to me. You know?
Right,
so
right.
It's like, it is what it is, you know. We're in a sport, no matter what, where you're at, you can win some, you can lose some, but when you lose some, that's when you find out who are the real fans and who are not. I do have fans that follow me still, and they still, you know, the ones that follow me still, and they still, like, concerned about what I'm doing, not just in the ring, but outside the ring, those are the real fans you got to appreciate. But
right.
The one that just jumped shit from shit, you know, that's what it is. Like, Broner, all everybody was on his dick. He got knocked the fuck out by Madonna. He got beat up by Madonna. And then everybody's off his dick, and now the fucking Broner's never been this and that. So, you know, it is one of the things. It's like Madonna was one of the best in the world, and he got beat by somebody. Oh, man, he sucks. Same with Floyd. Everybody's waiting for Floyd to fucking lose, because when they lose, then they'd be like, oh, see, I told you he was never good. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. Yeah, that's where you're going to get those kind of fans. The fans jump on, jump off. That's always going to be like that.
You know, I've been wanting to have you on for quite some time, man. So I hope you don't feel like we're coming at you with a bunch of questions, but these are really questions that I've kind of had in my head.
You got me on the motherfucking phone. Might as well just use it while you
right.
Got me on the goddamn phone. Answer every fucking question. I answer every fucking question that's possible if I can.
Okay.
If I can, I'll be like, fuck it, I can.
And I appreciate that. So I want to go back a little back, you know, with the Alvarado fight, okay? Because like I said, I've been wanting to ask you questions. And you know what? I feel like if I don't get the chance to do it now, I'm probably not going to have the chance again. Because like you said, we live and then we die. So I don't know. Maybe when I walk outside from my office here, I get hit by a car and then I'm going to regret it. I'm gonna be like, God, I had Brandon right here and I should have asked him.
And if you get by a fucking car, at least you was gonna think about me. Say, I got that question. Ask this motherfucker. So I got.
There you
hit.
Go.
I died.
Hold on. Exactly. Bro.
Hey, fucking doggy, you died at home.
So, you had Memo Heredia. Why did you drop him after? What was the main reason why you decided to move on? And who recommended? And go ahead.
No, the reason why we didn't, it's just the agreement terms, man. We didn't agree on certain terms about the money-wise. So that's what it was. It was nothing to do that we had a bad relationship. It was something bad between me and him. No, it wasn't like that. Heredia was a great trainer, and he does great stuff about what he does. But it was just the agreement terms, man. It was just, that's what it was. It was nothing to do with the...
Right. When you say agreement terms... When you say agreement terms, because, you know, the speculation is that he's got this contract that, you know, he has to have his fighters sign. Is that one of the agreement terms that you didn't like?
No, he never had me sign the contract.
Did he ever mention something like that?
No. I had him sign the contract actually saying that if I test positive in a certain way that, you know, he's responsible for it and I can sue him for whatever he does. But other than that, you know... Yeah, it was nothing like that. It was just the money-wise, you know. It was agreement terms on money-wise. We didn't meet where we both thought we both should be able to meet, and so that's what it was. It was nothing, like I said, it was nothing to do with anything to do with bad relationship.
Okay.
I heard that because the story broke, and then it turned out that you guys had been working together for, like, 3 weeks.
Hold on.
When the story broke that you were working with Heredia, apparently you guys had been working together for like a few weeks, and I'd heard from a reporter that you had said like you didn't want anybody to know about it, like you wanted to keep it under wraps. And was it just you wanted to keep your secret weapon, like your secret new training, under wraps? Like what was that about? I mean,
we were just trying to, you know, it was fucking like mind fuck, you know, we're trying to mind games. That was it. But it was nothing like do with, oh, man, I'm going to get caught. Yeah, anybody's working in my fucking gym, they know that if that was the case, I would have hired a Reza. So, oh, we're not working a Reza, this and that. Nah, but it was just, you know, playing a little mind game now and that. But he honestly, he also didn't want to let people know either. So he told me, if you keep that right now, just between us, it'd be cool. But if people come, like reporters come in and stuff like that, and they ask, and yes, I'm going to say something. But he was trying to, like, you know, he didn't really want it out there yet.
Hmm. Is he? I mean, what's he like? I mean, he certainly has no love for me, but I'm just curious. Like, is he a cool guy? I've heard different varying versions that he's kind of pushy, and the people don't get along with him. Then I've heard the opposite, that he's a really fun guy and jokes around a lot and is playful.
Honestly, he sticks to himself. Honestly, you can't say that. He didn't really I'm used to somebody pushing me. He didn't push me as much, but yes, like I said, he does a great job. But I'm honest, I can't say nothing bad about the guy because he never did nothing bad to me. And to me, he was a good person. You know, he never fucking like thought he was better than me. He never thought he should never stink or nothing like that. No, like to me, he was a great person.
Hey, did he take your jokes, dude? Did he take your jokes? Let me ask you that. Was he able to cope with your joke?
That's the one thing I know that dude. He said, "What the hell, dude? If you're gonna fucking work with this, you gotta make sure you can handle handle who I am because I'm a very forward person and I do fuck around a lot and I do joke around a lot." And you know, he understand that and he took it. You know, he didn't really like got mad about anything.
So, yeah, you caught me off guard at the gym.
I told everybody that, man. I even told Reza, too, hey, motherfucker, when I first met this motherfucker, I'm like, hey, motherfucker, I'm going to tell you this right now. But look, you ready to call me motherfucker? I'm like, well, then, motherfucker, you better make sure that you can handle my shit because I fuck around a lot and I joke around a lot, but I also like to train a lot. I like to train my ass off, but I do fuck around a lot. And he's like, okay, cool, that makes me more better. I'm like, all right, then, that's feeling better for me than fucker.
With Memo, because I know, you know, Ariza's got the shake. We've asked him about it. Yeah, he gives his guys, he's into supplementation and giving people minerals. Is Memo into that too, vitamins, and or does he do other things?
What do you mean? But Memo's out, like, he does his vitamins and stuff like that. Yeah, he does vitamins and all that stuff, like Ariza. Memo has his own his vitamins and everything that he has, great vitamins and everything. Ariza, I was with him when I bought all the vitamins and everything. We went to the vitamin D shop, and we picked out vitamins, and I questioned everything. Same with Memo, I was questioning everything. So it wasn't nothing like, I did not know what I was taking, because I don't take nothing that I did not know. So I was taking everything, and you know, I knew.
Did because you were saying about with Memo, like you had the contract. Look, if I test positive, that's on you. Did you have the same thing with Ariza? You're like, look, this
shit. Yeah, I did have the same shit with Ariza. And
so,
Ariza knows. He already knows that he didn't get paid.
Oh, he didn't get paid for this fight? Let me, Brandon, before we let you go, I just got one more last question, brother. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate you taking the time. You've been on with us for quite some time. Quick
cool,
question.
Man.
Would you use
all day long. I don't have nothing to do.
Would you use VADA again? If another fight? Negative?
Okay. Negative. Because the shit that happens and everything, saying this and that, all this stuff, man, I wouldn't use VADA again. Because they put out great people that have representing them and pulled the tape, made me piss in the right cups and everything, and made me have all that shit. It was unprofessional, and it is what it is, you know. It is, I guess, fuck it. What are we going to do? Nothing.
I got a question for you. What's up with Ellie Setback, dude? Why didn't he not record this?
Because Ellie Setback was in my room at the time. And if he was in my room, trust me, he would have recorded that shit because we would have made sure. But he was there when everything, you know, we knew. We should have recorded. You know, like I said, it was just everybody was disappointed. And I even told Ellie, you know, I don't want the camera on my face right now walking into the room because, you know, I was pissed.
Right.
So, yes, we knew. We should have had him recorded, but, you know, it was my fault. Fuck it. It is what it is. What can we do?
Ooh, kill him.
Ooh, kill him. That's the best thing I can say, man, when it was in the thing. Ooh, kill him. That was it.
But there you go. Hey, bro, again, I appreciate you
as
taking
always.
The time and even coming on here and answering these really, really tough questions. And, you know, I know that.
Oh, it's not tough, man. It's simple shit. Hey, but I wanted to give a commission out to Ms. Gamboa. Hey, man, when you're ready to, he's always asking me to say, let's fight, get the fight on. Like last time he tweeted me that he wants to get on with me. I'm like, I don't swing that way, bro. I'm not a fag, so sorry. Either way.
Gamboa. You know, we've invited Gamboa, and he's declined us. We've invited Gamboa to come through.
Oh, yeah, because
he declined us.
He knows.
You know, so.
He don't want to get asked a hard question. Why did you duck Brandon? Why not? Why are you talking shit about him? But when you see them in person, because this is what happened. I didn't go to the fight, Mikey's fight, but they said that, you know, Gamboa's going back and forth with Mikey, back and forth. A lot of them, too, was going back and forth talking shit to each other. And then Gamboa showed up to the fight, and he didn't say shit. Nothing. They had to push him in there. Just to say something. He didn't say nothing.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, it's different when you're fucking just tweeting about shit. But when it comes up to it, it's a different story.
But you know that that's not, Gamboa tweeting, right, though? I mean, you know that it's his, Willie?
Whoever it is, they make him look like a bitch because they're saying shit that he's not supposed to be saying, and it's funny. I like
right.
it. But anyways, I want to say that to Ms. Gamboa, this is a man's sport. If you want to fight, I'm ready to fight. You know what to do. I know what to do, and let's get it on. And I'll knock your little bitch ass out. And you will never, ever mention my name out of your mouth again, little bitch. I'm not a woman. I'm a man.
There you go. Bam Bam Reels here on Leaving the Ring with us and answer all questions that a lot of us wanted to know about. Again, brother, we thank you for coming on and hope to have you on a lot sooner than last time. You know, it's been too long since you've been on Leaving the Ring.
Yeah, well, man, you know, hit me up when you guys ready. I'm ready. I can still do it right now if you guys want, but it's all right, man. You got to do what you got to do. You get Pauly Menage on next. So tell that dude I say, what up?
Will do. Will do.
And tell him he's a great commentator.
I will, man. I will.
Tell that.
Thanks all again. Right. All right, brother.
All right.
Thanks, friend. Have a good day, man.
Later, you too.
There you go. Bam Bam Reels. Came through on Leaving the Ring Radio, and, you know, I got to applaud him. He came through, and he answered the questions we really wanted, we'd been burning to ask. And it's been like, I don't know, maybe what, 2 years, going on 2 years, where he hasn't been on. And got to love it.
It's been a while, yeah.
You know?
I like his candor, and you know, I was honestly surprised, you know, but he treated the interview the way he treats his fights, and that you can kind of hit him with whatever, and he just smiles at you and keeps coming.
Let's make this clear, you know, is we wanted to give him a chance to tell his side of the story and answer some of those questions, because seriously, nobody asked him about that energy drink. I hadn't seen anybody. I could be wrong. Tweet me if I'm wrong, if you've seen it in an article where he talked about the, what, Jack 3D energy drink. And Alex Setback wouldn't even answer me back when I asked him a couple of times. You've asked him. A few people asked him, where's the video? Did you record this? I mean, you record everything else. What lacked on this one? And Brandon had to answer that for him. I was honestly curious if there was an argument between Ariza. What about this contract with Memo? What happened? What's the difference between Memo and Ariza? You know, listen, people, these are questions. We ask them. A lot of folks think we're coming off as arrogant and, you know, you guys are suspicious of everybody. Well, what is our job to do as a reporter? Ask questions so that we can kind of get the answer and go away from there. You know, our job wasn't just tell him right now, you're lying and you're this and that. Our job was to ask certain questions and allow him to respond, and then we soak it in. And the listeners, well, you walk away believing what you're going to believe. Either you're going to take his word or you're going to take what is black and white on paper. So I applaud him for being the guy he is to come on Leave the Ring, because he didn't have to. And I applaud guys like Andre Berto, Lamont Peterson, Mickey Bay, The Cedric names that have come through on Leave the Ring to talk to us about what has happened when they are tested positive. And now we can add Brandon Reels to that list. Yorkies Gamboa, if you guys are listening, I'd love to get you on, because we do have some questions too. Again, it's not like we're going to throw the book at you. They're just questions.
Executioner. We're just being reporters.
That's it.
What we're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I know Memo likes to take jabs and call us bloggers and all that. Well, if we don't ask questions, how are we going to have the answers? And how do we balance it out and make our own judgment off of certain things? Brandon Reels obviously came on and said, hey, this is the situation. We're going to go back and be able to listen to it ourselves and make a judgment off of it, of what we think. You know, I mean, not everything is cut and dry, you know, or black and white, however you want to say it. Or take a dump and wipe, and there's still going to be traces. I like that analogy he used.
That's a brutal analogy. I'm not that crazy about it. But the thing that bums me out about it is that his answer to, will I do VADA testing, and not just the brand VADA. I know people seem to think that I'm some sort of shill or an employee for them. I just see their track record is pretty good. It's very good, in fact. But it's just that he didn't come away – you remember the time we had him on? It was the first time we had him on, and I was pretty new to the show. And the first time I met Brandon Reels was at the press conference for Margarito when he returned after the hand wrap incident. And it was a year later, and it got really nasty. The scrum, the reporter roundtable got really nasty real fast, and everybody let their emotions get the better of them. And that's the day Brandon saw me for the first time and was like, who's this dude with glasses on? And he's all up in Margarito's face. And I actually really wasn't. I kind of bought into the energy, and I raised my voice and was like, dude, just answer the questions. And Margarito just kept saying, oh, you're going to write what you're going to write. Screw you guys, you know, and was just kind of arrogant about it. Margarito and I cleared the air like years, about a year later. when I wrote a piece about him for, it was supposed to be for HBO, but it ended up being for Max Boxing. But when we had Brandon on to kind of get him so that he wasn't so pissed at me, and to kind of understand where I was at, I don't care if people are pissed at me, but I want them, if they're going to be mad at me, like be mad at me for the right reasons. And I told him this, and it seems to me, and it hasn't really sunk in, is that I care about like PEDs just the same way I cared about the Henrap incident and getting to the bottom of it, because I care about the safety of the fighters. I don't want guys to walk away from this part all beat up and slurring or brain damaged, you know, and broke, or to be cheated on by a PED user. I care about the fighters, like to a really serious level. And I told him that I would hope that, you know, if somebody had done that to you, allegedly, had doctored their raps or cheated in some way in competing with you, I would hope that you would want me to go after them as vehemently as I go after everybody else. And that's the thing that bums me out, is that he should look to do some testing and get his opponent in there, especially with, you know, if Gamboa was in Biogenesis, right, part of that program, and he's facing him, like, you should care, dude, because it does have an advantage. You know, certain things like, you know, testosterone and that, but also very dangerous. EPO increases the, you know, red blood cell count, makes your blood thicker. You know, you can have a stroke doing that. Now there's a new study out of UCLA that links testosterone, this TRT therapy in certain age groups. It increases, if you're prone to heart disease, it increases your risk of heart attacks. These things are things that athletes need to know. You know, well, I think next week, as I kind of delve into what New Jersey said today, kind of going against the Association of Ringside Physicians' recommendation that we should ban therapeutic use exemptions for TRT, and New Jersey's kind of saying, well, they should say, you know, that the drug testing should increase and everybody should be doing, you know, drug testing like we do. I'm going to save that. I'll table that for next week. I'm still forming my opinion on it and gathering information on it. To me, though, just my real quick take, there needs to be a unity here among all the commissions, among all the media. It's what I wrote this week in my piece on Max Boxing about combat sport safety. We need to get to a uniformity, a unity about what we're test for, how do we do that, what fights do we do it for. I mean, you can't afford it for the four-rounders. I get that. It's tougher. But maybe, you know, there are certain ways. I think there is kind of solutions that you can do whole cards. But the bottom line is the safety of the fighters. And we can argue about TRT or 2Es or this, that, the other thing, or what type of testing. Should we do hair? Should we do blood, urine? All of that. The bottom line is that we need to come to a consensus on this. The media needs to stop acting like it's my platform, so I'm not going to touch it, or I don't like Gabe Montoya, he's an asshole. And, you know, pardon my language, but that's kind of how people treat me. And so they ignore these stories, like the epinephrine story in New York, which we can talk about later after we get to Pauly. These things are important stories. They're not important because I wrote them. They're important because, you know, there are things that fall through the cracks. And ultimately, you know, I don't want the doomsday scenario that Freddie Roach talked about on the show and others talk about, that it's going to take a tragedy for things to change because, you know, things don't generally change after tragedies. We've had many tragedies. You know, the Magomed was a tragedy. Are we seeing a lot of reforms based on that fight? I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, so let's not get to the doomsday scenario. How about we preemptively strike it since we have all the information to do so? So I'll get off my soapbox. But you know what? How about everybody get on it with me? And then it's all of our platform instead of me having to constantly do it. It drives me crazy. I know there's other people starting to step up. Mike Fish, another guy, Josh, I'm going to screw his name up. But he put something out. There's a lot of guys, Josh Gross, in ESPN, they wrote a nice piece about TRT and 2Es on ESPN yesterday. People need to start tuning into this stuff because it's not just my pet thing. I mean, I couldn't have picked a subject that would be more unpopular than writing about PEDs. You and me both. And it's not about that. You know, it's about caring about the fighters. If we really love boxing, then we have to love the boxers. And if we truly love the boxers, we should care about them in the here and now and the hereafter. So,
you know, and
there you go.
Here's the thing, too, is also is that like Brandon, having Brandon on, didn't even know about that energy drink or whatever the case is. This is something that teams got to educate themselves with too. You know, it's not an attack. It's an eye opener. It's a, you know, we have to look a little bit deeper We got to look a little bit deeper at what's going into the bodies of our athletes. So I think that's what the overall, and you know, I've said this to a few other people when we talk about PEDs and, or, you know, and I start bringing things up, and I had a conversation with a guy that I respect a whole lot. I won't mention his name and stuff. I don't think it'd be fair because he wouldn't be here to talk about it with us. But I just basically told him, because he was very misinformed about the PEDs and about BATA and among other things like matchmaking and et cetera, that this really falls into a fan or blogger, journalist, whatever you want, of laziness, pure laziness. You know, you want the fast news, but you don't want to follow through with the news that are really – there's a matter behind it, you know. And so you just say, forget it. It's too much, you know, to read about, or it's too much information. I just want to keep it simple. Yes, this is a very simple sport. Two men get in the ring. Two men duke it out. One walks away the victor. Simple sport. But the mechanics behind the sport is not very simple. If you decide to get into the sport, not just the business, but I'm talking about as a fighter, there's a lot that entails to being a great fighter. Footwork, jab, combinations, your conditioning, et cetera, et cetera. But, and even in those long, in those lines that I'm talking about, there's other things too that are involved in this sport. So it's not a very simple sport as many would like to look at. It's not simple. Fight fans, you want to call in, you certainly can, 347-215-7598. If you haven't downloaded the mobile app, I encourage you to do so. You can catch, if you you can catch like Boxeo Tijuana Radio, that comes out every Tuesday. Monday, before that, is the next round with yours truly here, Mr. Gable Montoya and Steve Kim for Max Boxing. I text Paulie Malignaggi. I don't think he's ready for us. So as soon as he texts me back to let me know that he's ready to come on Leaving the Ring, we'll definitely patch him in. So if you want, let's take some calls right now here on Leaving the Ring, and let's talk some boxing.
Let's go with
area code 201. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, Gabe, Steve, how you doing?
Steve and Gabe, how you doing, man?
Good, thanks. I got a quick question for you. Now, I'm fairly newer to boxing. So how do these fights get made? Does the promoter start out picking the two fighters, and then they pitch that to the networks? I'm just curious. I'm just curious to know the process.
Gable?
This sport is kind of case by case. You know, each fight is its own thing.
Let's say it's
not a sport, it's a business. So it depends.
Can you give me the example of let's say Cotto Sergio Martinez, different promoters, right? So does, let's say, Bob Arum get those two fights together, pitch them the purse, then give that to the network, and the fighters get a piece of the purse? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, again, it's a different thing because that's a pay-per-view fight. So the promoters are going to, yes, in this case, you know, the if it's a regular fight, say on HBO, there's going to be a site fee. You know, there's going to be a licensing fee. What the cable provider will give to divvy out. And then even within that, what the promoter, based on that fee, is actually going to divvy out to the fighters. There's also, you know, there's a site fee involved. Where the venue is going to put up money to in order to have the fight and generate revenue that way. Then you also got sponsorships, people that are going to be, you know, get their name on the fight. So then, you know, depending on the fighters and what they bring to the table, there's all kinds of pies to be divided. You got the gate, you've got the sponsorship money, you got the TV money, and then you got the purses that the promoters are going to throw in there. The case
Paulie, what's up,
Dave?
I'm going to patch you in right now, okay, and I'll introduce you.
I can totally hear you right now.
Be like not even 10 seconds.
Perfect. Thank you.
In the case of a pay-per-view, the promoter's paying, footing the whole bill. They're going to split half the revenues back to the cable provider, who's basically just bringing in, you know, HBO's bringing in all their people. They're bringing all their production. Oh, is Mr. Malignaggi ready?
Yeah, let's patch in, Paulie, you know. Paulie, are you there with us, brother?
There's a good piece to Google. Stop,
guys. I know.
ABC's of pay-per-view. I would look that up.
Gable, sorry. Hold on. We got Paulie Malignaggi here with us here on Leaving the Ring. Paulie, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us here on leaving the ring, and you know, it's really appreciative. We've got tons of questions for you. I'm going to let Gable kick it off first, and I'll come right behind him.
Pleasure to talk to you, Paulie. I've always wanted to interview you, and now it's my big chance.
Cool.
For you, let's just jump right on the deep end. You know, you were just honored, and congratulations for you got an award for the BWAA for excellence in broadcast journalism. For you, as an active fighter, how hard is it to keep objective when you're watching and calling a fight, say with a guy that you may end up fighting or a guy that you fought, or a guy that's in your division that you may have your eye on? How hard is it to kind of separate, you know, commentator Paulie from I want to kick that guy's ass and take what he has, Paulie?
Well, I think I just kind of eliminate the fact that I'm a fighter when I'm working, you know, or I try to at least, you know. I mean, I take what I know based on my fight experiences. I don't really mention things like, oh, well, if I was in the ring, I would do this, or because I was in the ring, I say this. I try not to say things like that, you know, but I do try to, you know, use the knowledge I have from being in the ring and kind of express it out there in general terms, you know. As far as fighters I may like or not like, or how I want to fight this guy or whatnot, it doesn't really cross my mind. I mean, on the night, I'm really more of a fan than anything else, just like everybody else, and I'm just calling the action for everybody else. I'm enjoying it just like a fan, just like anybody else would enjoy it. So, for me, it's more, it's a labor of love, I guess, you know?
Is it like, in a sense, like, because it's live performance, and I know you had, like, actor on your bio, you've done some acting, and fighting is, in a sense, performance. But is it the same in that you have to stay in the moment? I notice a lot of times when I don't like a commentator, they talk about what they would like to see as opposed to what's actually happening. Do you try to stay in the moment and just talk about what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I try to break it down as best I can for the people at home, you know, see what's going on. I think when it's very, very general, very basic, I mean, people can see that for themselves. So I try to break down things that maybe you might not catch or, you know, you might not otherwise understand, and try to explain them. You know, like sometimes this fighter is setting traps, or sometimes a fighter is doing a certain thing, and you know, maybe it may not look as exciting to some people, you know, but there's actually things that are going on. You kind of have to peel all the layers and kind of understand what's going on. So if I can explain to people sometimes, you know, even when the pace is slow, hey, this and this is actually going on, it'll help the people at home kind of look for those things. And a fight that may not be as exciting can become, because people can look for those things unfolding themselves.
Let me ask you this, Paulie, because you've kind of taken this stance about cleaning up the sport. How much effect does it come along as a commentary? Where do you think that? Because I've seen you do this not while you're commentating a fight. It's been off of that, but. Is there type of a restriction with Showtime where they don't want you to talk about certain things, and it just blows over where you have to say this on another platform?
You try to say things on the air, but I guess Showtime kind of try to stay away from the controversy. I can't go over there and kind of make it my own personal show, you know. I can't go over there and become like, Showtime already has the Jim Rome show, you know, where, you know, kind of the Jim Rome is the host and he kind of gives his opinions and he has guests on the show. Maybe in the long run I'll have a show like that too, where I can kind of spew my own opinions and, you know, give my own things on what's on my mind. But on the air, I mean, I can kind of say those things, but not to the degree I'd like to, because you really got to call the fight for the fans. You got to talk about the fight and the action in general. And really, you gotta be objective in a lot of ways, you know. You kind of have to stay neutral out of a lot of those things, because Showtime doesn't want to be responsible for a lot of controversies, as don't a lot of these other networks, you know. So a lot of times, you know, I try to give the best of that I can of myself, but you just try to stay away from the controversial things, you know. I kind of try to keep the conversation in a more positive way. I try to generalize what's going on in a fight. I try to break down what's going on in the fight. I try to break down what's going on in boxing in general. I try to discuss more of the positive things than anything else. And really, and not to say that I always do that, but I try to You know, I don't want people to switch the channel when they're watching me talk. You know, I don't want people to switch the channel when I'm watching a fight, when they're watching a fight and you know, I'm bashing it. I don't want to be bashing a fight. There's always something positive you can take out of a fight, and you know, I try to bring that out for people so that people can look for those things themselves and enjoy it through my eyes.
Is it really controversial, though, in your opinion? I mean, this is something that is an obvious thing that's been in our sport that needs to be cleaned out. And let me ask you this. Don't you think that in the commentary that by even explaining what your rant is, which I don't think it's a rant, it's really a conversation that needs to be talked about. It's really something that needs to be awareness needs to happen here. Don't you think that by talking about it on the commentary where you have these fans that are coming through, sitting down, it is the right time to talk about these certain situations in our sport to educate them? Because like you said, you've got a lot of bloggers, you got a lot of these so-called media guys that they're not doing their job. And in my opinion, you're absolutely right. But I think a lot of these guys is because they're not even educated, because they don't know where to start from in order to kind of look into what is the problem in the sport.
Well, here's the thing. If you're not educated and you don't know where to start from, then you don't belong writing, you don't belong on press row, and you don't belong in any place like that. You know, that's the problem starts there.
I agree.
You know? Yeah, unless you have a college degree, you can't get most jobs in this world. I'm not saying you need a college degree to be a media member, but at the same time, you do need a certain amount of knowledge, aside from your desire to talk about the pound-for-pound list, or if you want to be in press row and you want to discuss certain things, because boxing is a lot deeper than people think, okay? And a lot of fans will jump in there and just want to be fans. They just want to get a free media credential to big fights. And so they tiptoe across and try to, you know, get these credentials. They create a website and try to get these credentials based on the fact that, oh, yeah, listen, they masquerade as a writer or a reporter. And that's the thing. You got to kind of weed these people out, you know? You got to try to dissect the real from the fake as far as the media, you know? In boxing terms, these people are probably the club fighters of media writing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's the heavyweights, the world-class fighters of media writing are all amongst them, and sometimes it's hard to kind of decipher who's who and what's what because everything is kind of mixed in, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in boxing, in the ring, you know, you can eliminate a club fighter from a world-class fighter, you just put them in with each other, and you can understand who's on a certain level, you know? A lot of times, in the media, the wannabe writers, they kind of masquerade as you know, maybe something that they're not, and they kind of get mixed into the mix of the writers that are actually intelligent and may know what they're doing. You know, it's kind of hard to decipher sometimes because sometimes it's not a job about just the bloggers. Sometimes it's actually the guys who work for big-time websites who have no clue what they're doing and no clue what they're writing. You know, so it's,
right.
it's tough. It's difficult. I mean, if I get up there and I start ranting and I start trying to decipher, I might be talking for an hour. You can take shots at me. You can ask me questions. I'll have an answer every time. But really, to answer everybody's questions or to really describe things the way I want to, it takes too long. You basically need your own platform, you know?
Like Jim or something like that.
Yeah.
Do
you
exactly.
think
And then here's a joke. Here's a joke about the whole thing. The joke about the whole thing is you need concrete proof of certain things. And how are you going to have concrete proof when not everyone is, like, certain, like, if we're talking about PEDs, for example? You need concrete proof to this country, in certain ways, is a bit imbecilic, and that you need concrete proof to accuse somebody of taking PEDs. Yet, these certain somebodies don't even do random drug tests for most of their fights or any of their fights. And
right.
So they've never failed a test, but what does that mean? What does that mean when you never failed a drug test, when you never took a random drug test in your life? You know what I mean? That means nothing to me. It means nothing at all. I have every right to accuse you if you start looking like Superman and you refuse random drug tests. I have every right to accuse you, but then suddenly I'm the one that risks getting sued. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's also the rules are a bit imbecilic here where we live in this country. And this country's great, but certain things, I mean, like this, like that, kind of put a muzzle on certain things you want to do.
Well, I mean, it's not even accused. I mean, you're not even accusing them. I mean, I think we, like us, we've been criticized so much because we ask questions. We're not accusing you. We're asking a question. Why can't you answer the question? You know?
Absolutely. Here's the thing, though, man. See that? And this is where my emotions get tied into this, and I would have to learn to be like you guys and just ask the questions. But unfortunately, I'm kind of a loose cannon in that I'll ask the question, and when you don't answer the question, especially when you don't give the answer that I was looking for,
then I kind of spew out and start accusing and go crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be the one that have to be careful, because for me, it's a process of elimination. It's very obvious. It's common sense here. I mean, if you look like Superman and you refuse random drug tests, then you were probably doing something. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, you were doing something. Now, if you're off, now all of a sudden suddenly you're doing random drug tests and you stop looking like Superman, then it makes it even more obvious that you were doing something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to jump out at names again like I used to. But let's be pretty realistic here on what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten into this in the past and gotten myself in trouble, or at least, you know, by some people's standards, gotten myself in trouble. But in reality, there should be random drug testing for every world-class fight. There's no excuse that there's not. There is no excuse that there's not. You know what I'm saying? There's absolutely no reason for anybody to be refusing it. There's no reason that it can't be paid for because of the certain level that we're on and the kind of money that's in these kind of fights. You know, it should be easily affordable. So there's really no reason for any of this. There should be no reason for any of this controversy anymore. You know, we should be past this already, but we're not.
I agree.
I 100% agree. And it's interesting, like you talk about the test thing, and, you know, people say, well, I don't want to take the test. And that's kind of how I got on this journey 4 years ago, was I just started with Floyd and said, you know, why now? He got really emotional and upset, and I literally just kept saying, but yeah, but why at this moment, after 20 years of fighting?
I'll tell you why Floyd got upset. Floyd got upset because he's getting called out on wanting random drug tests when the other guy should have been taking them the whole time to begin with. So he can't say, because of the country we're in, he can't outright say the other guy is on so much steroids that it's coming out of his ears and it's coming out of his nose and it's coming out of everywhere, so I need to start this random drug testing for everyone. That way he gets the hint that if he's going to fight me, he also needs to random drug test. But Floyd can't say that because Floyd is, you know, he's going to risk getting sued, he's going to risk pending him in a lawsuit, so that's the frustration of answering that kind of question. So you got to kind of read between the lines here. Everyone should be taking drug tests. I'll give you an example, okay? Guys, I'm a big soccer fan. I'm probably a bigger soccer fan than I am a boxing fan, okay? In 1994, I don't know how much soccer you guys know, but in 1994, the United States hosted the World Cup, okay? There was a goal scored by Diego Maradona. Diego Maradona might be the best soccer player ever. It's probably between Pele and Diego Maradona, okay? And Diego Maradona scored a goal. I remember the game was Argentina versus Greece, and he had this wild celebration where he got right in the camera, right in the TV camera's face and kind of went crazy and went nuts. And the FIFA officials, FIFA is basically the world organization for soccer, looked at him and said, you know what, this guy's kind of going bananas here on the field, you know? You know what they did at the end of the game? The game ended and they said, Diego, come here, buddy. Why don't you pee in this cup for us? We're going to draw some blood. We're going to test you right now. Diego Maradona might be the best soccer player in the history of soccer. He didn't have the right to say, hey, man, what are you guys, crazy? I'm playing again in 3 days. I don't know if I'm giving you guys no blood. Or, hey, man, I'm focusing on a soccer game here. I'm not taking no drugs. Since when does an athlete have the right to decipher when he's tested or not? You know what I'm saying? Like, when did this happen? The most popular sport, possibly, in my opinion, he is the best player to ever play the most popular sport in the world, and he did not have a say. He didn't have a say for to not take that drug test. And you know what? Diego Maradona failed that drug test, and Diego Maradona was kicked out of the 1994 World Cup. Okay? That's the moral. The moral of the story is nobody is too big to say yes or no. You know what? This excuse, that excuse for not taking these random drug tests. Okay? If you're avoiding them to that degree, then there's a big problem. Because everyone, even other major sports are starting to do this now. You're starting to catch random guys, random drug tests. You know what's happened in baseball once they started talking about it? Guys are hitting 40, 45, 50 home runs at the All-Star break now. Suddenly their numbers are going down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all back to normal now.
We had 61 was the record. 61 was the record for the season. You had 5-6 guys a year getting over 60 home runs. Were we kidding me? I mean, it wasn't obvious. Suddenly, look at it like this. Look at it again from the accomplishments today. Again, I mean, take the same thing. I mean, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Is, right.
It absolutely is.
The ages are getting longer. Fighters are fighting, you know, I don't want to name names, but getting close to their 50s.
Exactly.
And here's your thing.
They should take this course, man. I mean, yeah, it's kind of the ages are getting longer, and guys are starting to stick around longer. And, you know, obviously, yeah, like I said, there's so much going on. Everybody's random drug test. That's it. It's pretty simple.
You know,
it's pretty simple.
You,
excuse
when
not
I say,
doing
when
it. Like
you say
I said,
random,
there's so many in these big fights.
Year round.
There's millions
where it's
of these big
not like yeah. Random is not, I'm going to fight and we're going to test during training camp when I decide that we're going to fight. It should be
right.
year-round. So this is my problem with Floyd Mayweather testing with USADA, is that he's in control of the window. He's ordering it. Whereas I look at, like, Edwin Rodriguez and Donaire, they enter into a voluntary year-round program. They have no control. They've submitted themselves to something greater than themselves. To me, that's true random testing. And that's what they do in the Olympics. You're year-round. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like that when I was an amateur, actually. You know, it was once I made the national.
Here's my thing about Floyd, and I'd like to hear your opinion about this, Paulie, is that, okay, the whole, you know, drug testing issue, TMT is now a promotional group. How many of his fighters have tested positive? Why hasn't he talked about it? Why hasn't anybody asked him about his fighters? You know, where's his stance at, in my opinion? I mean, I want to know. I mean, where is your stance about this? You were so for it, your fighters got caught.
Here's the thing, and you got a great point.
Right.
You got a great point, and I can't even argue that point, but here's the thing. Testing positive for a diuretic and testing positive for a steroid are two very different things. I'm going to explain it to you. Testing positive for a diuretic is hazardous to the fighter who was taking the diuretic. He's killing himself to make weight. The diuretics are banned not because of what the damage the fighter can do to somebody else.
The fighter can do to himself making weight. It's a masking agent. They're also used as masking agents because they dilute the drug.
I didn't know that. Yeah, you're right. You're actually right. I had heard that. Yeah, there's masking agents that are diuretics too. Okay. So
they have a dual use. You know?
Yeah,
so
there are some that are masking agents. You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of that. Okay, yeah.
Dave, also, Floyd was asked by Tom Hauser back, I think this is before the Canelo fight began, on the first tour back in D.C., about the test. And his response and Ellerby's response was that we're taking care of it in-house. We're now going to get all of our fighters in a year-round random drug testing program. That hasn't happened.
Right.
So those are things on the table. I'm sorry to interrupt your question, but just points of order.
Well, you know, like what you were talking about, Paulie, about the whole soccer thing and that player gets tested, he gets kicked out of the sport. I've had a few, you know, listeners that email me and they'll say boxing is like the Wild West. And my reply to that is no, it's not. Because in the Wild West, what we used to do is execute or hang our cheaters. We only suspend them in boxing.
Yes. That's true.
You know,
but the thing about it is this. It's people want to. We can point our fingers at a lot of places, but honestly, the progress is going to come slow, guys. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, maybe one day maybe we'll be here or we're not here. You know, then there'll be random drug testing across the board. I don't think it's that difficult. I really don't. I've talked about it before. As a matter of fact, I talked about it before most people were talking about it, you know. And, you know, you kind of, people kind of look at it as a joke or something that is an excuse or whatnot, you know. And I'm not, I think guys like Floyd, guys like Pacquiao should step to the forefront, you know, and possibly do it all year round, you know, or at least, you know, certain efforts to preach that, you know, because it's one thing if I'm saying it once, it's one thing if guys like that are saying it, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen for a little while now, we can at least start though. It can at least start with every fighter doing it during the training camp, you know, that's progress, you know, because right now we don't even have that, you know, that's progress. At least start it with every fighter during the training camp, gets randomly tested each and every world-class training camp. But what I'm saying by a world-class training camp is, fights where money is. You know, obviously you can't control the 4-round fighters that's all randomly drug testing them because the test costs more with what they're making. But world class level, there's plenty of money to be put into a random drug test as well, you know, and I think for starters we go there and then from there you can, you know, kind of mutate it to the all year round. It progress has to come slow, but it comes, you know. I don't know.
We're further along than we were. You know, at first it was Floyd and
Now
you got Bradley.
We are further along than we were. But Manny Pacquiao? When did he start VADA testing? Last fight.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first time he did it, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
so the next fight. A lot of
conspiracy theories have come out of him doing it the last fight. I mean, honestly, I mean, could it be that? How come all of a sudden now he was, after all these years and he actually stalled negotiations for a major fight, that he was okay doing it now, you know? And
good question.
And I'll answer another one. I mean, he did it. Where was the firepower? Where was the because he fought like a human being. What I'm saying about fought like a human being is he didn't fight like he was superhuman in the Brandon Rios fight. What I'm saying is you used to see Manny Pacquiao throwing 8 to 10 punch combinations and then coming out, stepping out of the pocket and stepping right back in and following up with another 5, 6, 7 punch combination, backing you up and following up with yet another 5, 6 punch combination. And what I'm saying is that takes a lot of stamina. Because throwing speed takes a lot of stamina. Throwing hard punches, which he was also doing, takes a lot of stamina. So usually you're going to do that and you're going to get out of the pocket, catch your breath. You may even initiate a clinch to kind of catch your breath. You're in good shape, so you need maybe one clinch and suddenly your oxygen is back. I mean, that's all of us. He right. did that in the Brandon Rios fight. Never saw it before, though. I didn't see Manny Pacquiao clinch for 5 years. That's what I wanted him drug tested. I don't care about right now, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about. I mean, I do care about right now, obviously, but I wanted to see it when it was really important. You know, I wanted to see it when the featherweight came up to welterweight and knocked out welterweights. Welterweights that were actually monster welterweights. That's when I wanted to see it, you know? That's when I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And,
I can understand that. You know, and it's hard.
I took Miguel Cotto's punches, okay? I consider myself to have a pretty good chin, okay? I consider myself a good. I think at this point, my reputation speaks for itself. I'm a pretty good receiver. You know, I can take a punch, and I'm pretty known. My toughness is pretty well known, okay? I took Miguel Cotto's punches, okay? That's the hardest puncher I've fought. How many fights do I have? 38 professional fights? That's the hardest puncher by far that I fought in my 38 professional fights, okay? He doesn't have to. Say Manny Pacquiao gets the benefit of the doubt. He has the best chin in the world. He doesn't get knocked out. You don't have to get knocked out by the hardest puncher in the world. This guy, Miguel Cotto, didn't knock out, including me, okay?
Right.
But taking the kind of thunder Pacquiao took, because it was a war in the first 6 rounds, taking the kind of thunder Pacquiao took from the guy should have slowed him down. It should have slowed him down, in my opinion. It should have slowed him down. I mean, I was a natural 140 pounder fighting a natural 140 pounder in Cotto. Slowed me down, taking that kind of shot. Didn't slow Pacquiao down. He could fight Cotto like Floyd for Cotto, where it's like, oh, man, you got to fight a guy like that. He hits so hard. You got to fight a guy like that pretty intelligently. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you fight a guy like that recklessly and you break through punches like that, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? You start. I don't know. And again, it's hard to explain because then again, you're going to say, oh,
well, there was a phrase
walking through is in the first. And you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
It's hard to explain because you're going to say, oh, Magrillo is walking through his punches in the first fight. Well, Magrillo, first of all, is naturally a bigger guy than Cotto, number one. Number two,
right.
Magrillo did it in a your way kind of way. Magrillo did it in a tough it out kind of way. Not in a, I'm so fresh as a daisy. I'm wiping off your punches like they're spinning. I'm throwing 100-mile-an-hour combinations still like nothing ever touched me. Magrillo kind of gritted his teeth and kind of walked him down and broke him down in the first fight. And, of course, Magrillo probably was cheating as well, you know, as far as having the things in his hands, you know. But it was a different kind of breaking them down, you know. So, again, these are just suspicions, but at the end of the day, you would have liked for them to be addressed right there. You would have liked for it to be nipped in the bud right away, you know, back when it was happening. Maybe you'd avoid all these issues now, you know. These things should have been brought up then instead of being laughed at when people brought them up then. And then maybe 5 years down the line, which we are at now, you may be a lot further along. I think people are crying about the fact that Marquez and Pacquiao, Marquez, how did Marquez pass all those drug tests? How did Marquez pass that drug test with Pacquiao? He was so dirty. I mean, he looked like another human being at 40 years old. He did. You guys don't agree? He did. I mean, that was another guy.
Well, then
he
had in his corner with a
different guy. He did. He looked,
right.
He did.
Yeah.
He looked like a different guy. But let me ask you a question. If you don't want Manuel Marquez, and you've been drinking your own piss, and you look very small against the Floyd Mayweather fight, you're clearly not a welterweight. But you fought this guy, Pacquiao, tooth and nail, at smaller weight classes, and now you're fighting him at welterweight, and you're just supposed to believe that he's just grown better into the welterweight division than you can?
No.
And you're going to fight him again? You know you were super competitive with him, but now you're going to fight him again. Tom, let me ask you this. If you go into it clean, and you're Marquez, you don't think you're ruining your, you don't think you're risking your life?
I'm not saying
what Marquez did is clean. It's right. I'm not saying it's right. Okay, but in the moment, do you fight a guy you know is dirty? Do you go in there and fight him clean and risk your life? You know he's not going to get caught. But then again, you hire this guy who may be able to get you stuff that you don't know where you don't think you can get caught. Do you even the stakes, or do you walk away from a $5-6 million payday and say, you know what? Forget about it. That's the you gotta walk your normal walk. And I'm not saying anything is right or wrong. I'm not saying what's right or wrong here. I'm trying to make people walk in the people's footsteps, okay? And that right there in the Marquez Pacquiao fight, one thing stood out to me blatantly, big time stood out to me in that fight where Marquez knocked out Pacquiao. Everybody was talking about only Marquez. Everybody was only talking about Marquez, and, oh, man, he was so dirty. And they said, oh, how did he pass that drug test? He was so dirty. Did anybody else notice that Pacquiao was winning the fight? Did you guys notice Pacquiao was winning the fight?
Right.
How is the queen guy beating the 30 guy? Is he queen? Exactly. There's so many layers to this.
Right.
It's hard to solve overnight. There's so many layers to this.
There's a couple of phrases, and you hit on a couple of things. When you study, I like to study other sports, particularly other dirty sports. Cycling is a favorite of mine, and there's a use or lose mentality that they talk about, that guys start out clean, they get to the top level. If you read Tyler Hamilton's Secret Race, he was totally clean, didn't even use like ibuprofen, nothing. And then he got to the top level and realized, man, it ain't enough. I'm the best in the world clean, but I'm like 50. And that's when you begin to use. But there was a phrase that they used to use in reference to a drug called EPO, which is a blood doping drug. It creates more red blood cells. And they would refer to guys as machines. It makes you feel like a machine because you'd never get tired. You keep going. And looking back at the old things about Pacquiao, they would always say he's like a machine. He never gets tired. It always made me wonder.
That was absolutely what I was thinking was the case there. I mean, when at that time, I'm like, there's no way. And when I did my research, I said, this is it. This is the drug right here. You don't get randomly drug tested, you can't catch this drug. You can't detect this drug. So you're not going to tell me never failing a drug test means anything. When this kind of drug right here, unless you take random drug tests with blood, you can't detect it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So never failing a drug test, to me, stopped meaning anything once I started understanding these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, wow.
It's scary
because this is combat, guys. This is combat. This is combat sports. It's scary, dude. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why it's got to be long. It's got to be moved along in the right way. Somebody shouldn't have to die for these things to take effect. Unfortunately, when do really things like this take into effect? When people start dying, when people start getting hurt. The NFL started changing the rules and people started getting all kinds of damage later on in their lives. Now, all of a sudden, the last couple of years, the NFL became a totally different league. Okay? It shouldn't come to these kind of things. It shouldn't come to these kind of things for people to understand and really get on it, okay? That's kind of the evilness of society, you know what I mean? Because in reality, when guys are asking for random tests, guys are asking for random tests for other guys, I see the comments on the internet. Guys, I read the media stuff now because I'm a reporter myself, you know? So I got to kind of get caught up on things. I read up on things that I used to refuse to read because as a fighter, I don't want my head cluttered with stuff. So I read articles. I read all comments people leave. Guys, I mean, people get hammered for asking for random drug tests. Fans and people look at it like it's an excuse to get out of a fight. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Donito Donaire, who takes random drug tests every year. You know, I remember, what fight was it? Well, Larry Merchant asked him, should he move up in weight? And Donito had just moved up in weight. He's like, let's get settled at this weight class first. Because when you're clean, it's not that easy to just keep moving up in weight.
Right.
Moving up in weight is very difficult to do. You know, when you're clean, you have to have the frame for it. You have to have the frame for it. You know, Neil does have the frame for it. So he can move up maybe more weight class than certain other people can move up. Tommy Hearns, he had the frame for it. Maybe he could fill out better than other guys because he was very tall. You know, I give the guys like that benefit of the doubt. Alexis Arguello had the frame for it. But at a certain point, the common denominator with all those guys was they got knocked out at a certain point. Unless if they didn't touch up their defense, all those guys got knocked out. If they tried to keep fighting as aggressively in the higher weight classes, and they did, they got knocked out, all of them. Okay, so again, I go back to what I used to say. When Manny was jumping up all these weight classes, he didn't have the frame for it. I used to call him a midget because he's very short. He didn't have the frame for it to fill out all these weight classes. How's he filling out all these weight classes? And also not paying the price for fighting this aggressively and getting hit from bigger guys. Not just bigger guys, bigger punchers. So it just leaves you really wondering. It leaves you really wondering. And you don't want to start putting guys out there, you know, and you don't want to start pointing the finger. Although sometimes you kind of have to. But at the end of the day, how do you solve it? Random drug testing for every big fight. Starting with random drug testing for every big fight, and then from there, maybe it'll evolve to all year round. You know, you start somewhere. You got to crawl before you can walk.
Exactly.
Right now, we're barely getting up on all fours to crawl.
Or even
so let me ask you
right
now.
Test. Like the fight where Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez, there was no random drug testing. It was just standard testing by Nevada. And they
exactly.
could test for EPO, but they don't. And EPO is a urine test. I believe there's also a blood
that's
version of it. But
gotta
they,
be random,
but they
right?
Urine,
I mean,
they could
correct
take,
me
they
if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but even correct me if I'm wrong, but the test for EPO in the urine test, don't you have to have caught the urine at a certain time? I mean, if like if
oh,
you
yeah.
took a last you won't detect it in the urine. So it's still
the night of the fight. If you get caught that night, like Victor Conti and other guys, anti-doping say you're an idiot. You failed the drug test.
The guys that are getting called on the night of the fight are the amateurs. These are the guys that thought they could get away with something and are totally rank amateurs. You know what I'm saying? These are the guys that are getting caught the fight of the night of the fight. You know what I'm saying?
The night of the fight, what they could do is measure the hematocrit, which is like the red blood cell count.
Yeah, that's what they started doing.
The blood.
So they started doing with the bicycle. Yep. Oh yeah, of course.
Right.
Everything. You have to have the willingness, and you have to be willing to put up the money, and you have to have the desire to catch these people. You know, you got guys. Boxing is a big business. Winning is a big business. You know, once fighters
right.
are a big reputation, they become so much money that nobody wants to risk damaging the reputation, and that's the shame of it. I mean, that's the shame of it. Does it mean anything? In the long run, I mean, safety should come first. But unfortunately, not everybody's getting in the ring to care for
right,
safety. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
And you're feeling our frustration as reporters too, Paulie. You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. You're saying you have to now kind of look at all these things as a reporter. So let me ask you this: now that you feel this is a responsibility to try to out this out or ask the questions. What is your stance now, or what do you think is the title for Al Haymon?
What do I think is the top what?
What do you think Al Haymon's title is in boxing now? Is it manager, advisor?
I'd say it's advisor / manager. I mean, as far as exactly what he is, I mean, I was able to keep my manager along on board, so when I signed with Al. I wouldn't say he's my manager. Al's my advisor, and he advises on certain things probably better than certain other people can. But really, in reality, boxing is about connections, it's about networking, and unfortunately in life it's about connections and about being associated with the people that can get you to a better place, to a higher level in the business you're in. So for me, signing with Al Haymon was because Al could do things for me that other people couldn't. And especially in a sport like boxing, where you say like, oh, well, in other businesses, maybe you don't have to make certain kind of decisions like that because in the long run, you might get there anyway. In boxing, it's not like that. I'm at the end of my career. So if I want to reach a certain pinnacle, mainly if I want to get the Floyd Mayweather fight, if I can keep looking impressive in my wins, I can only get it if I'm associated with certain people. And, Al kind of worked his way through that because Al kind of came into boxing just like everybody else came into boxing. But he moved his way up the ladder a lot faster. I don't know how, but all I know is Al Haymon fighters get paid more money and they get bigger fights. And when the opportunity was offered, I got to take it.
Right, and definitely when you signed on to him and you keep talking about, I was promised a big fight. That was the first thing that I mentioned was the big fight is the Floyd Mayweather fight. I mean, because his pond of welterweights or any fighters that in that sweepstake is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Let me ask you this, and I'll let Gabriel jump back in because I know he's got a million questions too as well. When we talk about cleaning the sport, though, and I know you're in that position as a fighter, you got to take certain things in order to get to certain places. But when we talk about cleaning up the sport, the Ali Act is being continuously broken. It's just everybody bends the rules and everybody violates this Ali Act. That should also be thrown into cleaning up the act, not just with PEDs. The Ali Act should be thrown there as well and rewritten and really be forced as well. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Ali Act should be thrown in. But, again, who is going to police that? Who's going to police that? That's where the fighters are kind of – a lot of the fighters are
screwed.
Not – I wouldn't say screwed, but –
also it's a deficiency in power. You know what I'm saying? Once you're outside the ring,
yeah,
a lot of fighters don't have the money. A lot of fighters don't have the money promoters have. Say you don't get your Ali actor, or your numbers don't make sense on your Ali actor, for example. You want to fight it. How do you fight it? You got to get a lawyer. You got to go. You got to file something.
Yeah.
Fight. Most fighters don't have that kind of money. You know what I mean? Promoters do. Promoters will fight you all the way through. Not only that, they'll freeze your contract so you can't keep working. Because if you keep working, you're going to be able to pay the lawyers to fight them. So it's an ongoing vicious cycle, you know, where the fighters don't really have a lot of pull, a lot of power in any of this.
Well, it's a discouragement, too. I mean, I'm doing a series called The Boxing Blitz, and this is one of the issues that I talk about, among a bunch of issues that we have in the sport of boxing, is that with the Ali Act, it's a discouragement for fighters that they got nowhere to go or to speak to get advice. They got to get a lawyer, and that takes money. You know, so it always ends up where the fighter just shrugs his shoulders and says, well, screw it. It is what it is. You know, I'm just going to keep, you know, tussling along and try to, you know, survive and pay, you know, my ends meet for my family. And I think that's where we need to take notice. And I think more people need to talk about not just the PEDs, which we do all the time. Every show we pound at it. But the Ali Act missed, you know.
You're 100% right. Here's the problem. Okay, the problem is when things like that are happening, the fighter is not talking about them publicly. If he's saying, you know what, let me keep fighting and let me just take this on the chin because or else, you know, I can't feed my family, I can't keep making money. When that's happening, you guys don't know about it because if the media would find out, if the fighter talked, that means he's not just taking it on the chin and then continuing his career. He's actually fighting against his promoter by going public with certain things. So that's the problem. When these things are happening, nobody knows it, you know, and take it from me. We know how to hide it well if and when those things are happening, you know, because...
Well, even that. So, Paulie, there's fighters that do talk. There's fighters that do talk to certain media, but media won't talk about it because they're afraid of getting those credentials pulled off. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, that's the media perspective of it, and you know what, you might be right on that end. I got even better for you. This fighter that we're talking about is the media's friends with the promoter. Okay, that's fighters that won't talk about it with the media because the media is friends with the promoter, and the media guy will run like a little girl back to the promoter because the promoters wine and dine these media guys. The promoters are friends with these media guys. They know who to keep close to them so that you know when there's problems like this, you know they'll report back to them. Okay, a lot of times the fight will not tell the media guy because the media guy will run back to the promoter.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Do you think, in a sense, because the sport is fractured, and I've always said that the powers that be in boxing love it this way, that it's not a universal league, and like with the drug testing, but also the media, do you think like some of the publicists and the promoters like that there's a lot of dummies in the media and complicit fanboys, guys that aren't going to press? I mean, I haven't exactly won a lot of friends on press row because of the fact that I keep hammering the annoying questions. Not like, who are you going to fight next? Or how was training camp? But like, hey, did you get your Ali Act thing handled? Or who did random drug testing for this? And everybody kind of rolls their eyes and goes, there's Montoya on his soapbox again. But really, those are the important questions. Do you think that the publicists and the promoters like it this way?
Absolutely. The promoters like it this way, of course. Less controversy, the better for them, you know? You know, this is a side of boxing that people try not to talk about, but a lot of times needs to be discussed. You'd like for it to kind of be a bit more out in the open, but at the end of the day, you really just kind of go with it because as an athlete, you only have a certain window to make money. So you want to maximize your window to make money, you know, and you want to maximize your opportunities as best you can, you know, especially you know, when you're not always in a great position to get those big money fights at all, you know, you don't want to minimize it even more, you know. You kind of just kind of truck along and try to hopefully, you know, maximize what you can, you know. And so it's difficult. You're walking a tightrope constantly. I mean, it's a very, very stressing thing to do is fight for a living, and especially when you need the money and when you're not, you know, well off, you know. I can remember times earlier in my career where I'd just be so frustrated because, you know, I needed to take what was coming at me and not be able to complain about it because, you know, I couldn't afford to not keep trucking along, you know. And, you know, it's very frustrating, you know, and I'm sure more fighters are in that position than not. I know more fighters are in that position than not. And, you know, it's things where, it's so much that has to be fixed. It's just a spider web that's kind of intertwined into so many things that where do you start, you know? And, you know, you like to start, but is it really about starting, or does it become a vigilante thing about, you know, making a personal agendas? Because you have to try to correct the sport. You can't make it a vigilante thing about personal agendas, you know what I'm saying? Or else then you get lost
right
in what you're doing, you know? Then what you, yeah. the true identity of what you're trying to do gets lost if you make it a vigilante situation and going after personal agendas, you know? So it's so tough. It's so tough. But at the same time, yeah, does everyone just want the problem not to be addressed and everything to continue? Yeah, that's always easier for the powers that be. So the powers that be are the powers that be for a reason, because things are this way. So, of course, they're not going to want things changed, obviously.
I couldn't agree more on both of those fronts. It's hard. You know, this 4 years I've written, I think, up to like 51 articles on PEDs, and they've been, you know, some of them educational, some of them been controversial, but outing people, and it's tough. There have been times where you can't see the forest for the trees, but I think the number one thing, you know, because this all has a theme, is that we as media have to band together and be consistent, keep asking the tougher questions, keep raising the bar, and keep educating people. And so I think when we set that example, all the other guys will kind of fall away, because there's not a lot of reward in this business, monetarily. On the media side,
right,
on the fighting side, it's all hard to get a little bit of, you know, a little, not for these squirrels here, but, you know, we just got to keep doing it. And I appreciate you being so open and honest, man, and just speaking your mind, because it's very rare.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And like I said, I mean, for starters, if the main names in the sport, you know, took the lead in random drug testing, I think you'll see a lot less of what you've seen in the past 10 years. Just like you saw the home run number drop in the Major League Baseball, you'll see if everyone gets randomly drug tested, when eventually it does happen, because I think eventually we'll move on to that, you know, just the progress comes slow, but it comes. Then when every major fight gets randomly drug tested, you will start seeing guys not fighting as older into their age. You'll start seeing guys not going up so many weight classes and things of that nature. So, you know, I think that's the things to look for. And once we reach that point of everybody being randomly drug tested, those are the things to look for. And that's when you're in law. It was more people than you thought that were doing things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And,
I agree. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, in baseball it became very obvious. Guys can barely hit 50 home runs anymore, you know? So it's, you know, the numbers don't lie, that's all.
Right, yeah. Time to clean it up. It's time to clean it up, man. And all I got to say is you just keep being you, Paulie. You know, and, you know, like myself and Gabriel, you know, who's been writing those articles, and I've been pounding at this for, 4 to 5 years now about cleaning up our sport. It's refreshing to know that there's a guy out there, and I think you've influenced other people that are commentators to come forward and start talking about these situations in our sport, this problem in our sport, you know, from Jim Lampley to Brian, your you know, your co-commentator there, who's talking about it on his radio show. So you just keep being you, man, and I think it becomes – it's a slow infection that we're doing to other people out there, other writers and other people that want to come forward and speak about this. But I think at the long run, even though it's going to be a long and slow process, which it has been 5 years, 4 years, I think we're starting to see signs of some type of light, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen some progress. Like I said, it's slow, but it's coming, and that's what you kind of got to look for, you know, and I hope that it continues to go in that direction. And I think it will. I think it will. It's just it's got to be a marathon, not a sprint, unfortunately.
Well, you're the man, brother. Again, dude, thank you for coming through and speaking to us. And, you know, we'll keep tuning in and listening to you do your commentary and then wait for that next big fight that's going to hopefully fall on your lap there.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time. Bye-bye.
Okay,
have a great day.
Paulie Malignaggi here on Leaving the Ring Radio. a lot of stuff, man. I hope everybody enjoyed what we were able to provide today. Brandon Rios coming through, talking about Yoyorkis Gamboa, but more importantly, his drug fail test with Vada, what happened in China, the name of the energy drink, finally, we got that, and among a lot of other things. And Paul Malignaggi, sticking true to what he's been pounding the table about cleaning up our sport. I think this is very important for the real fans out there. You know, I see guys... Just like Paul, I surf the net, and I'll look through Twitter, and I'll look at certain other people talking about things, and I'll see guys go like, you know, I want to get on, I want to do a radio show because I want to save the sport, because they want to call out about certain fights, matches not being made, when that's not saving the sport, really. What's saving the sport is trying to clean up the sport. And I think when we clean up the sport, we're going to be able to see better fights as well. You know, I had a good time. I had a good time
today.
Yeah,
I mean, and,
I think we're five more minutes left, but, you know, five more minutes left. What more can we really – I know we got our fight schedule.
Oh,
we can do the fight schedule
real
quick. I mean, Victor Ortiz is fighting tonight, you know, and really, you know what? Let me clarify something, because I threw out this on Twitter and on Facebook. And, you know, I don't want to call people simple-minded, but I was asking a question, guys. And the question was why was Victor being served up on a comeback fight against Luis Collazo, who's a very tough fighter who has been on a winning streak, okay? And this was my take, is that Victor Ortiz is at the end of his days. You know, I think he's more or less now, we can kind of label him more of an actor, entertainer, which he drew a lot of fans. He's given us a lot of exciting fights, but he's getting up there on the ladder of, you know, basically looking at retirement. The hunger of a fighter can sometimes disappear. He's coming off of a broken jaw that was on two different places, and he's facing a cutie fighter who's strong. He's an older fighter. My opinion is, and this is my theory, okay? This doesn't mean I'm right, and I'm not trying to convince you that I'm right, but my theory is you bring Victor Ortiz back on Fox One Sports, and he already has a mainstream following. They're going to tune in. And they have to cash him out finally. They got to make as much as they can what's ever left of Victor Ortiz. But they signed on Luis Collazo, a Puerto Rican fighter who I like a lot, and he's very slick, and he's been having his winning streak. They signed him on for a reason. And remember I said with Paulie, the pool of fighters that are going to be available for Floyd Mayweather, well, they got to create some names. Luis Collazo, if he looks good and it could be sellable, where they can basically press that, here's the other guy that stopped, Victor Ortiz, and who is now also a Golden Boy fighter, who they have signed on. Think about it. Why would they sign an older fighter, and then not try to invest in him, you know? And they got to create fights for other guys, and this is one of the ways I think they're doing, is by having Luis Collazo on there and bank on beating Victor Ortiz, which is a very tough fight, in my opinion. At the same time, they get all these casual fans that really don't know the nose of what's going on in the boxing biz, and they're just going to go, oh, this guy just literally gave Victor Ortiz a good tussle for his money, and they can sell it like that. It's I don't know, maybe I think too much into stuff, but that was my thought.
So what you're saying, Dave, is that Victor Ortiz is an expendable.
He's an expendable, yes.
Right. And with that, do the fight schedule. At the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, Fox Sports 1, we have Victor Ortiz versus Luis Collazo, junior middleweights, 10 rounds. I'm going on with the upset special. I don't even feel it's that much of an upset. I'm going Luis Collazo. Underneath that is Eddie Gomez versus Daquan Arnett, junior middleweights, 10 rounds. Dave? Or should we just fly through it? We got like 3 minutes.
Yeah, go for it and fly through it. Yeah, let's fly through it.
Okay. Friday, January 31st, Richard J. Cody Arena in West Orange, New Jersey. On ESPN2's Friday Night Fights, Blake Caporello versus Elver Miriki. Light heavyweights, 10 rounds. Luis Rosa versus Jorge Diaz. Super bantamweights in action, 10 rounds. Saturday night, February 1st, Monte Carlo Monaco, everybody's favorite middleweight, Gennady Triple G Golovkin versus Asumanu Adama. I'm going with Golovkin, but I'm telling you, it's going to go a little bit longer than the Majewski fight. Middleweights, 12 rounds for Golovkin's WBA title. Alunga Makabu versus Tom Bob Anderson, that's the TBA to you and me. Cruiserweights, 12 rounds. This name is... So I say the end, and Kosinati Joyi versus Ray Loretto, junior flyweights, 12 rounds. And at the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff, Wales, Sky Sports, Lee Selby versus Rendell Monroe. That's going to be a fun fight. 12 rounds for the vacant European title. And Anthony Joshua Heavyweight I'm very high on, you know, an Olympian. Very exciting guy. I like his balance. I like his combos versus the dreaded Tom Bob Anderson. Gavin Rees also versus TBA lightweights in action. And that, my friends, is your weekend fight schedule. At least you'll get to see a little action live Saturday morning.
Dave? Well, there you go. Here on Leaving the Ring Radio, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to download the app. Every Monday, you got the next round. And every Tuesday, you got Boxeo Tijuana Radio. And every Thursday, yours truly here, Leaving the Ring Radio. Like I said, we're going to try to bring other boxing radio shows and other things to the mobile app. So if you haven't had a chance to download it, go for it, man. And give us your feedback. Again, enjoy the fights. Enjoy tonight's fights, tomorrow fights. Don't drink and drive, because you know why? You will spill your beer.
Dave, as always, fun stuff. I'll see you at the fights. Peace.